It's time to bring our good friends, David and Marcy, from the BerkshireEdge.com. BerkshireEdge.com is a place you can go and find out news, information, events, all very easy to find, all updated every day of the week, 7 days a week. If you're looking for something that's going on, or if you're looking for news, let's see, a one-stop shopping place. And it's not even shopping. You just go there.
Oh, it's free.
That's right. It's free. So good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
We're okay, a little sleepy.
There's nothing wrong with being sleepy. That's my middle name.
That's your mode of operation yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my middle name. Some people would say it's my first name, but anyway. But you know, it's funny. We talk about free and everything like that. I posted. I was asked questions from the Insider magazine about what's going on at Silo Ridge, okay? And so I gave...
What's going on where?
At Silo Ridge, the big housing project for closed-in community where houses and condominiums cost millions of dollars, and there's a give and take between the town. And
Is that the place on 22 near Armenia?
Yes. And so that was a year ago. And so they finally published the story, and I put a link up to it, right? And so many people, when I put a link up to it, said, well, why is it free? Why isn't it free? I said, well, because people have to pay people.
you mean the magazine, link wasn't free.
Yeah, you know, and it's like what you do and what we do, we have people we pay to help us put this together.
Yes, we do.
We have bills to pay.
And I have to tell you, I get, you know, you can't imagine the complaint. We get complaints from people. Why don't you do more of this? Why don't you do more of that? And I think... We give it to you for free.
That's right. You know? Well, anyways, so I'll get off the soapbox. But really, you know, we do our darndest. But you know, we all have bills to pay. So
yeah, exactly, which is why we have a membership drive.
That's exactly right.
You know, we hope people who will appreciate the fact that this costs us money, and help support us.
Yep, absolutely.
But most people don't.
You know, you're absolutely right. It's a tough road to hoe.
It's shocking.
Let's go on to some of the stories, because I think it's interesting. Your lead to me was at a special meeting of the Great Barrington Select Board, listed affordable housing and the predicament of the Housatonic Water Works as primary issues in town. No kidding.
You know, and COVID? Who heard of that? No one's ignoring COVID, but these are issues that would have been around in Great Barrington for years and years and years. In fact, I wonder whether, you know, there's kind of an unconscious wish just to keep them going because they're, you know, so familiar, you know.
Well, you know, what's interesting we'll start off with affordable housing. I know what's happening up in Berkshire County is the same thing is happening here. A company in North Canaan has put an application in to put in housing. It's not affordable housing. They're going to be condominiums, 40 condominiums, and it's not affordable housing. I'm not going to say it's not millionaire housing or anything like that,
right.
But still it's not affordable housing. And the same thing.
Well,
I think,
is affordable? I mean,
well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Connecticut doesn't have a law like in New York State. If you're going to build new projects for housing, this goes into the city and the state. You have to somehow either pay the town, or else you have to make a certain percentage of it affordable housing. Connecticut doesn't have that law.
Right.
I don't think Massachusetts has that law.
No, it doesn't. But that's interesting that that puts, you know, affordable housing right front and center whenever a new development is considered, and that's a very good idea actually. We should editorialize about that.
I rage against the machine a lot, and the machine just doesn't listen.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have some very interesting organizations here in the Berkshires. The CDC, the Community Development Corporation, and also a nonprofit called Construct, which are really struggling with. And not necessarily, affordable housing is one thing, but then there's also something called workforce housing,
yeah.
Affordable housing is not affordable to, what's considered affordable housing is not necessarily affordable to most of the workforce, which is being paid very little. That's the other issue.
Yeah.
Now there have been, and I know that I went to a Construct meeting, and they and the town are looking at, there are places around the country that have done interesting things, like I think Vail, Colorado has had a program of I can't give you the details, but there are towns that are similar to ours, you know, which have a big influx of tourists and second homeowners, where the price of housing has driven out the townspeople, the permanent residents, and also the people whom everybody depends on, you know, for services. So they can no longer afford to live in those towns, and that's what's happening here too. So I think that there are examples from around the country which we'll be hearing about. I know our reporter Bill Schein has been doing lots of articles in The Edge on short-term rentals and affordable housing, and that we will be continuing to look into that.
Well, the other thing they talk about, of course, is the Housatonic Water Company.
Oh, right. Right. Well, these are intractable problems. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing for the select board to put those as priorities, but the question is, what can you do about them?
Well, as we've talked about many times, the Housatonic Water Works is a privately owned water system for the village of Housatonic, which is a little village within the town of Great Barrington. And the problem with the Housatonic Water Works is that it can't generate the funds to maintain the water system. That is
it's privately owned.
It's privately owned.
That, yeah.
And
it only has 824 customers.
Right.
And 1,400 users, and the water is disgusting. It comes out brown.
Right.
They've deferred maintenance. I mean, there isn't enough water pressure for fire hydrants in case there's a fire. The water pressure is insufficient to fight a fire in Housatonic. So, that's also an issue. I mean, but it's privately owned.
Right.
So the town has decided it's going to audit the Housatonic Water Works. But, unless somebody can come up with enough money to repipe the system, I don't know what happens.
Well, this is a relic of the days when public utilities and services like water were privately owned. This is one of the rare, they're not very common anymore, but this is one of the reasons why most water systems and
well, especially water, right?
Yeah, public utilities have gone public rather than privately owned. The roads used to be privately owned,
right.
As we all know,
right.
Turnpikes.
Right, and toll roads, right.
Well, it's the same thing that's happened down here. Aquarian Water Company. Sharon has its own water supply, own reservoir, and own water company. But
owned by the town or owned privately?
It's owned by the town. But Salisbury switched to aquarian many years ago. Falls Village, a small town, switched to aquarian. I mean, you know,
Aquarian
is the name of a company.
Oh, it's a private. These are private companies. Are they private companies that own it, or private companies that operate it?
No, they won't. They've taken it over. They've taken it over because really small towns and towns that have very tight budgets cannot keep up. Up with what needs to be done.
Well, the rates that they would have to charge to maintain the system are just unbearable. That's the problem.
I mean, it'd be cheaper to go out and buy bottled water for all your use than to pay what they would need to keep up the system.
Yeah, but so Aquarian runs what? How many towns does Aquarian run?
Well, around here, I think there's three, but they're a bunch bigger than that. They're in towns all over the place. They're a pretty big company. They have the financial resources to do what has to be done. I'll give Sharon a lot of credit. Years ago, Sharon invested in their own water treatment plant. I mean, many years ago. I think about 20 years ago, and has kept on top of it with the Sharon Sewer and Water Commission. So most of that infrastructure is in place, and it's fairly new, and it's and some of it's very, very old. But Sharon is ahead of the game. Hopefully, they can stay ahead of the game. But if you're a town, there's just so many rules, regulations, and things that you have to do. It's why I give all our volunteer firefighters and EMS personnel. There's so many rules that they have to follow, and money that has to be spent. And for them to keep operating is amazing. There's certain things small town like Paul's Village can't do. You just can't afford to put that much money into something for so few people because it's impossible to pay for.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, you know, sooner or later, whether they want it or not at Housatonic Water Company, they're going to have to be bought out. They're just going to have to be because otherwise they'll end up getting fined up the yin-yang and they'll never get out of it.
True, but I think that the ownership of the Housatonic water system is kind of like a dog in the manger. You know, they kind of don't want to give it up. So,
they also don't want to give it up. They want to be bought.
Yeah.
And who's going to buy them?
Well, but sooner or later.
Maybe. And I don't know the economics.
Yeah, but sooner or later they're going to have to. Going to have to open their eyes and see that this is a situation that is nowhere to go but down. And sooner or later, Great Barrington might take action on it. Sooner or later, they might sell. But there's got to be an answer for those people that live in Housatonic. There has to be something on the horizon.
Right.
Nobody.
Well,
wants...
there has to be. I mean, you can't. I mean, really, we've had article after article with pictures of what the water looks like when you...
Well, that's our other story to this, is that the select board has, Great Barrington Select Board, has called for an audit of the Housatonic Water Works, so-called, the private system, to see...
State audit.
And to see just whether the private ownership of that water system is sustainable. And that's going to be, that'll be an interesting situation. So this is a continuing story.
Well, yes, and this really, I mean, this audit is the result of a petition started by two people, one a Housatonic resident, the other a Great Barrington resident. And there's now an organization called Residents for Safe Water. And they started this petition earlier this year. They got 1,200 signatures, and the petition asks the state auditor to study the finances of the Housatonic Water Works and its lack of adequate investment as a privately owned utility that is endangering public health.
Right.
You know, sooner or later, it's going to be like somebody that owns a building in the middle of a town.
Right.
And they let the building get into disrepair. They go, but you know, they can't pay their taxes for whatever reason, and all of a sudden the building not only is disrepair, but it now becomes a safety hazard. It becomes a, sooner or later that a town will step in and They'll declare eminent domain and they'll take it over just for the safety of the town. Sooner or later, that's the way it's going to end for the Housatonic Water Company. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take, but unless they wake up and understand that sooner or later, their decision will be taken away from them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not soon enough for the people that live there, but
no.
But sooner or later, with papers like yours, sites and people that keep bringing it to the forefront, sooner or later, that problem will be resolved.
It will, and I think that the citizens' petition. I mean, this. So just to be clear, what happened? I mean, the citizens are petitioning the state
yep.
to audit, and what the Great Barrington Select Board has done is endorsed request,
right?
Because the town itself doesn't have the authority to audit the water works, but the state does. So they have endorsed the request to the state. I mean, and they sent. I mean, this group sent the 1,200 petitions to the state and asked for an audit. So, you know, and one of the select board members, Eric Gabriel, showed a bottle of brown colored water. He brought it to the meeting. He lives in Housatonic, and he says this is just a sample of the water that comes out of my faucet.
Yeah.
It really is disgusting looking. I mean, it's all brown and it's filled with sediment. It may not be dangerous, but it certainly is unappealing.
All right, let's move on to better news, and that is that COVID cases remain low now, and also associated with that, everything else is opening up. But you have Barrington Stage now has their founding director leaving. Those are two stories that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But let's just, just a word about the COVID cases,
yeah.
because, you know, I mean, obviously that is extremely important to a place like the Berkshires where there's so much, you know, summer activity.
And relies on tourism.
And relies on
and
tourism.
Cultural tourism,
right.
That is, you know, where people congregate.
Right.
Which is not what you want to do during a pandemic. But in any case.
But at any rate, we had from July 10th to July 16th, there were 67 new cases of COVID reported in southern Berkshire County, and that was an 11% drop from the week before. So that's pretty low, and it seems to be remaining pretty low, although 67 cases in a week is not nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've noticed that, there are fewer people wearing masks in the supermarket. Many of the cultural venues are requiring masks. I mean, Jacob's Pillar is requiring them, and the Mahawi is requiring them with proof of vaccination. It's nice to know that people. I mean, but when I go to the supermarket, for example, where everybody was wearing a mask, now, you know, only half the people are wearing masks, and that's by choice.
Yeah.
So,
but let's move on to the cultural scene, because when a founding director of something like Barrington Stage, which has shown enormous, enormous growth, when the founding director retires, it's an eye opener because who else is going to step in, know the history and do that work? You know what I mean? It shakes you a little bit.
It does, and Julianne Boyd has been a huge part of the Berkshire cultural scene for many years, she's been just remarkable in creating this theater company and a venue for really remarkable new plays as well as plays that have already been written, but she's sort of been a force of nature in the cultural world in the Berkshires, and it's a shame actually.
It had to happen sooner or later.
Sooner or later, but you know, still she's been such a force for the creative arts, and in fact, and in organizing years ago, a group of the CEOs of cultural organizations to oversee the and work together to create this cultural haven that the Berkshires have become. She's one of those founding people that has been part of that movement. People forget, but she was part of this. She started this.
Yeah, no, she did. Well, she came here. She first worked at Berkshire Theater.
That's right.
Berkshire Theater Festival, and then she left and started her own company, which
right.
is very controversial. But she's, she's done an amazing job.
Yeah. Right.
You're amazing is simply the word to use, because what that's grown into, and the nationally and internationally respected company that she
that's right.
that's the whole thing. I mean it's good theater always, but it's not only nationally, but it's respected by people all over the world.
Well,
yep.
I think that she was one of the it's my perception, and I may be wrong, that she was the first to take a new local show to Broadway.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, and she took The Spelling Bee.
Yeah, years ago. Yeah,
you know, she took that to Broadway. I mean, it was sort of, you know, Joe Papp's model in a way. I mean, he did these, you know, shows at the Public and like Chorus Line, and then took it to Broadway. But I don't think it had been done by anybody here in the Berkshires.
No, and kept that level up, by the way, kept it up.
Yeah. No, and 'cause she had some backers with deep pockets, but you know they. She started out performing in a high school auditorium
yes.
in Sheffield.
Yep.
Right.
And now they own two theaters, three venues in Pittsfield. They have a main stage, and they have a secondary stage, and then they have a cabaret, and they have an office building. So they, you know, they really are quite amazing what she's been able to do. Now, they have not yet announced her successor. The reason that we're reporting on it is they did have a big farewell gala for her last week. After her 28th season, and she wants to travel with her husband. I'm sure that she'll be back. I mean, the rumor is that she will be back directing, you know, but not running the operation.
Right.
But they haven't named her successor yet, so everybody is wondering where they're going to find somebody. You know, this founder syndrome is a problem for nonprofits.
Yeah.
It's hard to find somebody who can step in the shoes of the person who founded it.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we only have about a minute and a half left, and I want to get to the next story, because I kind of chuckled when I saw some of the businesses that are being proposed for the Housatonic Elementary School building. But, I chuckle, but I'm saying I think it's important to the finest form of recycling, if you can take a building and recycling it and making it useful again.
Well, some of these suggestions are very good.
Yes, but there's a couple that make
but
you laugh.
A couple of them are really wacky. I mean, the Mason Museum of Body Arts is the first. But she wants to turn the building into a worldwide hub and global destination for hair and makeup through the creation of a one-of-a-kind, ever-evolving experiential space encompassing both the academic and fashion aspects of hair, makeup, and other facial and body adornments. Now, that's quite interesting.
But in Housatonic?
Right.
Well, I think that...
I could see this in New York.
All these
you
ideas...
You know, if that comes to be, I can see... You know, the revival of train service to Housatonic from New York.
Yes, right, for that.
Specials to the cosmetic center of the Berkshires.
Well, all kidding aside, though, it's great that there's people that want to present ideas, and it's great that the town is going to look
at this. Has been a desperate situation.
And they're going to look at that situation and hopefully come up with an answer for it.
Yeah, but there are, you know, there are some, again, I mean, that might be very viable. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, it's such a surprise that it's amusing, but, you know, she wants to turn the building into a worldwide hub and global destination. So, you know, who knows? I mean, stranger things have happened. But then, you know, there's somebody who wants to propose, who wants to turn it into a 10 two-bedroom market-rate residential units. But and the other ones that do seem quite viable is, you know, is BIC, the Berkshire Innovation Center, which has, you know, set up in Pittsfield, wants to do, you know, a BIC South. And what's the fourth one? The fourth
We're out of time, though.
Oh, we are.
We are up against the wall, as we like to say in the business.
Yes. Okay.
Well, once again,
we don't want to be fired on.
No, you're not going to be fired. The BerkshireEdge.com. We just touch on a few of the stories. BerkshireEdge.com is where you can find everything. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
The BerkshireEdge.com on the web, and you can find them on our website with the show at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on the Berkshire Edge on air.